I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 2, and then I want to give you some closing remarks, and then we'll be done here. Hebrews 2, chapter 1, verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord. It was attested to us by those who heard. So this writer is putting himself in the third generation. Lord, some other generation, us. Now the second generation spoke of this word while also doing something else. Verse 4. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. And what we understand is that the gifts were given by God for a specific purpose during the season in which God was giving revelation, this transitional period. And they were meant to bear witness to the truth, to show that there was new revelation being given, to give this new revelation, to clarify the Old Testament, to attest to the Christ. And when this was all done, and the apostles phased off the scene, the New Testament prophets phased off the scene, those gifts were no longer necessary. Because then the canon began to close, and we are now edified through the Word of God. So in conclusion, let me just tell you the tier one apostleship was authoritative, foundational. Tier two is what people claim today, and it's a lowercase a, non-authoritative, non-chosen, not meeting the requirements, apostle. There's no validity to that claim. The Bible gives us one description of an apostle that has to meet three qualifications. That's the what. So you might be doing something else, say you're something else, but you're not an apostle. Prophecy is always authoritative, inerrant, word from God. Prophecies today are erroneous, they're non-authoritative, and there's some kind of spiritual advice. It's not prophecy, and God doesn't speak apart from his word. So don't sit and listen for God. Read his word. And tongues, miraculous abilities, tier one, this is what they were, to speak an unlearned foreign language. Today, the tier two is non-miraculous ability to speak non-languages. It's not speaking in tongues. So what is it? As we talked about, it can be a variety of different things. But you got to define the what first. Because then the when and the why is, you know, it's easy. Healing, immediate, complete, undeniable, organic, sporadic. Today is planned. It's not immediate. It's incomplete. It can't be proven. And really, if God does it, it's just him answering prayers, which is what God wants us to do when somebody's sick. Just pray. If anyone's sick among you, bring it to the elders. Let them pray. And if he does do a miracle and save someone who looks like they're about to die, then God did a miracle. It's just not the same as somebody having the gift of healing. So all of these have ceased, and it's important that we know that. Where do we go from here? Well, what I want to encourage you with is that this is now your responsibility to teach others. And it is now your responsibility to help others to not move into the same error that you, as even Jesse described, have lived in. And I want you to know what you believe and why you believe it. I want you to build from here. This is just the basic information. It gives you a structure. What cessationism is, what it isn't. Where did charismatic theology come from? What's the best approach to this? What, when, why? Okay, what are they? The when passages that don't really give you the answers except Ephesians 2. Why? Because of a really special period in the life of the church. Okay, that's it. So now you know how to kind of build this house regarding the miraculous gifts, instead of just ambiguously thinking that they either do or don't, this person says this or that, etc. I want you to just have this framework. I think you should seek to correct others outside of our church because it's very misleading. And people are building their whole lives on this. I want you not to reject the Holy Spirit's work. Like, don't overcompensate by not loving the Holy Spirit. You know, don't let those who are in error hijack the Holy Spirit from you. Like, the Holy Spirit is yours, the real, true Spirit of God, because you came to know Christ who indwells you at the point of salvation. And he does this wonderful work of convicting and illuminating the scriptures and empowering you for witnessing and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore who he is and what he does. Just let that be defined biblically, scripturally. I think you should teach others in our church. I think you should protect our church, protect the sufficiency of scripture. Protect against all forms of continued revelation. And I think that there's really, again, multiple categories, but if there's a false teacher, the Bible does not shy away about how we should deal with false teaching. It doesn't shy away from the severity of our response. At the same time, there are some reformed continuationists who this fits in one category, who I believe are saved and who get it wrong concerning this one particular point. With them, you can love them and you can teach them this and help them get to a place where they're not living in error and confusion. You got to do hermeneutical gymnastics. I mean, the guys that I have read, which are all of them, of the Reformed continuationists that are the major players. I mean, you literally have to do hermeneutical gymnastics to get to the point. I mean, it's a real fight to get there, to get to a continuationist position. But if you look at the scriptures honestly, it's a very just literal, straightforward approach to get to cessationism. It's just right in front of you. So you can love them, but help them get to a place of understanding. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Tom Pennington, in his sermon, I didn't take the same approach as him in dealing with this because we're in a totally different context, but you can go back and watch his sermon on YouTube, Tom Pennington, A Case for Cessationism. Probably one of the best sermons you're going to hear on that. You should go listen to it. We needed to do something different here and just give you a base foundation. But he gives a quote at the end of his sermon that I thought I need to give to you. And I'll end it with this. And it's Martin Luther. And he says, if I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that one little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, then I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proven. And to be steady on all the battlefields, besides, is merely flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. And what he's saying there is, there's going to be a battlefield for certain doctrines. And you might say, oh, I'm being faithful to God. I'm being faithful to God. But that one little point that our city out here presses in on and pushes back on, and you know you're going to take persecution about, if you flinch at that point where the battle rages the fiercest, because that's what the devil wants to keep most concealed and wants to keep in confusion, then you're losing. If you flinch at that point, you're not boldly standing for the truth. And I think, personally, that Satan has done everything in me, in my mind, in my heart, in my emotions, in the past little bit, to stop this particular talk, or this particular weekend. I think he's probably done a lot in you to stop you from understanding, which tells me that this issue is way bigger than I think we might even realize, you know, and the damage it's causing. And so that's why my encouragement to you is to go out and to help others understand what's true about it. Because I think it's causing a lot of damage behind the scenes, because it moves to subjectivism, emotionalism, away from the Word of God. Error allows people to focus on things rather than the truth, et cetera, which leads to a whole bunch of sin and a whole bunch of people who are in darkness, you know. So anyway, may God bless you. Let me pray. Two more books that I would recommend to you. I know you've probably heard it before, MacArthur's Strange Fire. But, I mean, to be honest with you, this is just the best book, on the most comprehensive, from beginning to end, history to description, etc. If you read this book, it's very dense. It's going to take you probably a little while. I think you'll have a very holistic understanding. Strange Fire by MacArthur. And The Miraculous Gifts for Today, that's also a good one. But the other three that I mentioned are The Miraculous Gifts for Today. Promise of the Spirit, to be continued, Understanding Spiritual Gifts. So, all right, let me pray. Mike, you good? You need to say anything else? Yeah, we're going to worship? Yeah, yeah. No, let's. I was going to worship. Are we going to worship? Okay, all right. Sorry, we're going to worship for a couple minutes here. God, thank you for this time. I pray that you'd help us to keep with the truth of your word. And I pray that you'd be gracious to us. In Jesus' name, amen.